At this time, it's my honor and privilege to turn the services over to our beloved pastor and overseer, the great Kahan Yishel Abel Hawkins.
You may be seated. We're celebrating the memorial of two people here tonight. Everyone may be seated. Forgot to tell everyone to bring your books of Yahweh, but I want to keep you here for just a little while and catch up on some scriptures that has to do with this man and his greatness, what he went through for you this night. A woman who was also persecuted. We covered a little bit in 1 Corinthians 11:2 this morning. And, of course, I quoted this scripture quite often from Yahshua. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness." And he says to actually seek it. Now, of course, before the house of Yahweh was established, there was no house of Yahweh. It didn't exist. The one in Abilene was allowed to be killed off, the priests murdered, and Yahweh's way was rejected. So Yahweh turned them over to a reprobate mind to let them do whatever they wanted to do. He brought forth a work after that. Yahshua was that one of those works that he brought forth, because Yahweh loved the world that he made. He loves mankind that he made. He doesn't love the sins that is bringing trouble in heaven or here on earth too. Sin is what's causing the wars, the sickness, disease, the confused minds, the hateful attitudes, the fighting, the bickering. Everything goes with sin. That's a curse of the world. And of course, when you start preaching against sin, you are persecuted. So, or even murdered, killed. The serpent has come against all forms of righteousness, as Yahweh's prophet Daniel said he would. Be turning over to Psalms 23, because Yahweh shows that the house of Yahweh, it's planned forever. It won't disappear this time. The gates of hell will not prevail. Yahshua came forth. He's a high priest over the house of Yahweh. And here in Psalms 23, he says, "Yahweh is our shepherd. We shall not want." He says, "He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul." Every one of these sentences is a sermon, and we'll get around to them too. "He restores our life." And of course, we were dead. The wages of sin is death. And we were all dead. We'd spend our life, because we'd all practice sin. If Yahshua hadn't have come through like he did, lived a sinless life, he wouldn't have been able to have paid for our sins. But he did live a sinless life, as Yahweh prophesied he would. It seemed impossible, still seems impossible, but he did it. And from a young age, even like Samuel, From a young age, Yeshua studied the scriptures that was brought forth after Abel was killed. From the seed of Noah came forth certain ones and their genes that brought forth Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. From those men came forth a man called Yosef, who was tried and tested, blessed greatly to do a job and to live a life and to bring forth a breeding from Abraham, genes, and from those genes came forth, of course, Yeshua Messiah. From that same bloodline, I won't go into genealogies. I've got people looking for certain things, but we're told not to be concerned with endless genealogies. But whether you know it or not, Yahweh shows that you came. If you're in the house of Yahweh, you came from that field of genes that brought you down to this time period. Now, of course, the world is deeply involved in sin. They're being led by Yada. The Yadim fought Yeshua all the days that he was on earth. They persecuted him from the very beginning. Persecuted him, tried to tempt him, tried to get him to sin, to join them in the sin. But Yeshua, knowing the scriptures, knowing what was in store, he lived this sinless life, and then this night, the very night that he was betrayed, they arrested him, and of course took him to prison. His flesh was beaten and torn. I'm getting ahead of myself, but back to the house of Yahweh. The house of Yahweh was not in existence. And of course, the house that Solomon built, it was taken over by the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians. If you're new here, don't turn me off. These are facts that's found throughout the Holy Scriptures. If the people would just read and pay attention to the scriptures, you know, you would see what I'm saying is true. But I put it in writing explaining these things. And of course, the Pharisees, the only time that the laws of Yahweh was taught was when they sat in Moshe's seat, which required them to read these laws to the people. The people would hear these laws, and of course, they'd say, "Why aren't you following these?" Yochanan came, he's a great example, and said, "It's not right for you to have your brother's wife." He told this to the king over Jerusalem at the time. He was living deep in sin. We get shocked every once in a while when we find out our world leaders in this day is also deeply involved in sin, as the man that cut off Yochanan's head. They wanted to do that to us too. Still do. The hatred is not gone for us, I'll guarantee you that. But Yahweh restores our life through Yeshua, our high priest. He came and died for our sins so we could repent, be converted, practice. He paid for our past sins. He gives us time, as I brought forth this morning. He gives us space to repent. Well, going with repentance is not just repentance. You don't overcome overnight. It's turning to conversion, practicing the laws of Yahweh. Keep reading and practicing and overcoming. And you go through seven stages. Yahweh set this for everyone, not just for one person. He set it for every one of us. And in each each particular phase of this, we're tested to see if we've passed this, come to this part of strength that will bring us to the next test. And I think we're at the seventh test right now. I do believe that. In verse 4, yes, though we walk through the valley of shadow of death, we do walk through it, we will fear no evil. That evil, if you'll keep this in mind, always keep in mind when you see this word, Genesis 3, verse 5. Genesis 3, verse 5. Christians never notice it. No one ever notices it until the house of Yahweh points it out to them. Genesis 3, verse 5. Has Yahweh said, you should do this and this? That was Satan's trick coming from Cain, the priest, the God-worshipping priest, the Catholic priest. Catholic actually means God-worshipping. They worship all gods. He was the first Catholic priest. It wasn't Kepha that was the first Catholic priest. It was Cain. And all the world, Yada 11, 111, all the world has gone the way of Cain. Every word spoken by Yahweh, does man live? You've got to get these words. Genesis 3, 5 says, has Yahweh, this was Cain, saying to his mother, did Yahweh say that? Well, we have an eternal soul. I just found out from that we have an eternal soul. We won't die. Well, this was the lie that was told from the beginning. Every Mason, if you join the Masons, you have to sign a thing you did years ago. I guess they still do. You had to sign this application saying, I believe that I have an immortal soul. This lie was told to the world. It's still being told by Christianity today. I want you to watch for something as you watch the news, if you watch the news. They will have like a show called the Ten Commandments this time of year. And during that Ten Commandments, you'll see commercials. And during that time, you will see the Easter egg hunts that churches are putting on. They had a church on the air tonight on this evening's news, a church that was giving free meals. It wasn't Salvation Army. They think that's the reason you're here, to get free meals. So and this is being told in Abilene. No, you were here before we gave free meals, remember? We've now got to the point where, yes, we can give free meals. Anyone can eat. The poor, we don't ask you if you're poor or rich. We don't ask you if you're, forbid now, are you a citizen? Are you a citizen? They got laws. Well, do we ask them are they citizens or not? The church has asked how much money are you going to give in this moon-shaped dish we're passing in front of you so you can worship the moon and pay the moon here, the moon god. You didn't know that, did you? The new ones didn't. They have you worshiping these gods. In the third chapter of Genesis is where this started, this teaching. Has Yahweh said this? You won't die. You won't die. Go ahead and take pleasure in this sin right here. Well, of course, he told a lie. And Yeshua said that this came from the inspiration of Satan. She's the one that led this lie that all the churches, all the religions, 4,199 religions, and they're all teaching God worship. Where did that come from? Genesis 3, verse 5. Genesis 3, verse 5. Be like the gods. It's really desirable to be like these gods. And that's exactly what the world has followed, the way of Cain. He taught it. The world was destroyed. His seed, from his seed, came forth Yada, who now holds the scepter. Yes, who now holds the scepter, the law-giving scepter of the world. His brothers praise him. All the world praises Yada today. That's the Roman Catholic Church. The keys of this blood in the book, the keys of this blood from Malachi Martin, Malachi showed this and showed that they were the rightful heirs of the scepter, sitting on the seven hills of Rome and saying, along with the United States, the two horned beast, let us be all like the first beast that had the deadly wound. Well, of course, that was the so-called Holy Roman Empire. And they're saying it loud and clear. Don't hurt our way of life. Don't hurt the oil. Don't hurt the wine. And those who do and those who plan to, they're bringing pressure. Anyone should be able to see that now with the news that we're showing right here in the sanctuary on the Sabbath day. We're showing it week after week how these prophecies are actually coming to pass. They're bringing pressure on Russia because they say they don't want the Catholic Church in their land. That is, they don't want them interfering with their lifestyle. China is the same way. North Korea is the same way. Iran is another one. Well, all of these now are teaming up to bring this battle of depopulation of the earth, where the Pope says, and Malachi Martin said, the Pope, the Catholic Church, hopes to come out on top. They hope to come out on top, and then all the world be Catholics. Well, of course, they'd be fighting each other if they did. And here is the house of Yahweh that was destroyed. It was kept secret. If you'll just notice this Yosef, it wasn't advertised. It wasn't, you know, it was kept secret and kept humble because they kept themselves humble, out of the spotlight. And they brought forth and knew when Yeshua was going to come and die. And of course, that was no secret among the prophets. They knew it, they prophesied of it. Daniel even told the dates, give the dates when he would come and die, and it would start from a certain event. Please read the book, The Mark of the Beast. I think that was brought out, Daniel, the ninth chapter, where it shows the signing of the peace treaty and everything, the seven-year treaty. Well, the house of Yahweh was to be established. It was sealed. All of this stuff was sealed until the time of the end, as Daniel 12 showed. Remember that now. Till Daniel 12, it was sealed. They took it to Rome, took it out of the hands of the people for 1,500 years. And then Yahweh brought it back because the prophecy said in the last days. Daniel says in the last days would be when mankind would have the nuclear bombs that could darken the sun, and there would be two witnesses at that time. Two witnesses. So Daniel 9, putting Daniel 9 together and Daniel 12 together, we see that the house of Yahweh was going to be brought forth, and along with Micaiah, he said, in the last days, I will establish my house. Yeshua himself said that my house, the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. I'm going to build it, he said, on unity. And the gates of hell will not prevail against this house. They won't take you out of unity with me, Yahweh said. Yes. Yeshua is our high priest. We're the only ones. We're the only ones that have a high priest. It's over the house of Yahweh. And look at verse 6. We will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Surely righteousness. Christianity doesn't know what righteousness is. The religions today are fighting one another. If they knew what righteousness was and intended to follow that righteousness, they wouldn't be fighting at all. Yeshua set the perfect example. There was no war in Yeshua. They beat his flesh until it was broken open for you. Yes. He took the place of the four horns, the four deathly horns of the golden altar. Surely righteousness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Will follow us. It'll be a part of us, you and I. And we will dwell in unity with that righteousness. We will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Of course, the house of Yahweh was the promise of Genesis 1, verse 26. I will make man in my image, after my likeness, and I will give him authority. In Deuteronomy 12, remember, Yeshua said, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh and his righteousness. In Deuteronomy 12:5, he says, but you are to seek the habitation. That's the kingdom. The kingdom of Yahweh, the habitation of your father, the house of Yahweh. That's the kingdom that we're seeking. You seek it, he says. Then he tells you, study the scriptures, search the scriptures. For they're the ones that testify of this, the scriptures. He says, you're a fool if you don't believe every word of the prophets. Luke 24, verse 25. Fool if you don't believe it. Yeshua did believe it. He taught his 12 disciples to believe it. At least he got it through to 11 of the 12 disciples. He only lost one. That was the one that betrayed him. But he says, verse 5, but you seek the habitation. That's the house of your father. Well, it's called the house of Yahweh. That's the reason we put it there. In the last days I will establish my house, the place which Yahweh your father shall choose. The place which Yahweh your father shall choose. How do you know what he chose? Search the scriptures. Remember those words of Yeshua. Search the scriptures. For in them is eternal life, and they're the ones that testify of me. That's what he said. Out of all your tribes, for Yahweh your father shall choose out of all your tribes to establish. Now, if you get that, out of all your tribes. He's speaking again, Genesis 49, those 12 tribes. But he names you one there from which the righteous genes came down to you. In the last days, he said he would scatter this into all the world. Into all the world. It's covering the world right now. But the house of Yahweh is one tiny place. And it was established not just for you, but for the entire earth, because we had to get this message out. It was prophesied that we would cover the earth with this message. So establish his name. He chooses this place to establish his name. And there you must go. He didn't say, go there if you want to. And notice, he said, there you must go. That is, if you want to be a part of Yahweh's kingdom and his righteousness. If you don't want to be a part of righteousness, and most the world don't know what this righteousness is. They look upon this righteousness as something evil. And when they find out you're practicing righteousness, as Isaiah said, then you make yourself a prey. So from Yosef down to Yahshua, they kept it secret. They didn't make themselves a prey. They stayed and they practiced it. They taught it to their children in secret. I remember the secrecy of my life, which I know now Yahshua was seeing over me and bringing me through in secret, but I was taught the Holy Scriptures from a child. You might have been too. You might have been brought up on the King James Version as I was brought up on the King James Version. But we were taught to study it. And my dad was instrumental in building arbors for the religious organizations. They build an arbor on his land, let them come out and hold services in the summertime. But then they would preach. We would get back home. He and mother would say, did you hear the preacher say this? And then they would take us to the scriptures and say, now I want to show you this. They don't always tell the truth. So they would show what the scripture actually said. You see, that's a great foundation. They also showed us, the disciples of Yahshua, how they were persecuted. They were hunted down and killed. This is all in book 2 of the book of Yahweh. It's called the Acts of the Apostles in the King James Version. The Acts of the Apostles, and those people wrote those books, that number 2 book of the book of Yahweh. They wrote it. It was recorded. It was taken to Rome. They killed the disciples, most of them in Rome, or many of them in Rome. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you want to. But many of them were killed in Rome. They confiscated their writings. But remember, Yahweh said, I'm the shepherd of this. Remember that? Search out the book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these will fail. Not one. You're a fool if you don't believe that. If you believe they're going to fail, you're a fool. As many prophecies as we've had come to pass in this day, told thousands of years ago, is the nuclear bomb that's going to burn the earth in 1 hour. That was written in 96. The bomb wasn't invented till 1934, wasn't started till 1934, the day I was born. How could you not believe it? You're a fool if you don't. You're foolish if you don't. The prophecies are coming to pass. And book 2, yes, it was all confiscated and taken by the serpent to Rome and locked up. Daniel says it's going to be sealed. Yes, they did. They sealed it. They had some Catholic priests that they named with the number 6 who were instrumental in bringing forth the versions of the book of Yahweh, such as the King James Version. At a certain time, one of these, that word, by the way, cystine or cystine, depending whether you're from Oklahoma or Texas, cystine or cystine means edit or editor. That's the total meaning of that word. And of course, they edited this book of Yahweh, and they brought forth the versions. In a certain time period, they also edited the temple that they took from Jerusalem to Rome. And they call it the Sistine Chapel. They edited it. We were in there. We saw the cartoons all over the ceiling. All over the ceilings. Yes, they edited it, and they called it cartoons. The Pope that actually did this, that started this, painting these cartoons in the ceiling of the temple that once stood on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, he's the one that came up with the name cartoon. Yeah, he's the one that invented that word, cartoon. And of course, in studying it, we've found we have 666. That's when we got rid of cartoons in our practice, because we too were deceived by this. Yes, but it's easy to find, and Yahweh is bringing it to light and getting it out. Well, he says, hunt the place where I say, where I choose. Take the place that I choose. You have to find it in prophecy. And there you must go. There in front of Yahweh, verse 7, there in front of Yahweh your Father, you and your family shall eat, and you shall rejoice. Now that's a command, and you can learn to do it. And Yahshua said, if you follow my example that I give to you, then you will find joy in this. Well, of course, look at verse 7 and 8. Number 8. You must not at all do as we are doing here this day, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. Now get this, you're a newcomer. We have a lot of people that's new. Now you can get turned off here real easy with the truth, because Satan attacks the truth. If she's still got some pull over your brain, you know, she'll make you angry and you'll leave. That 3 out of 4 will fall away. Yahshua shows you this. You're a fool if you don't believe that. 3 out of 4 will actually fall away after coming to the truth. But if you stay and study, and you really study these scriptures and read these books, and it will show you the scriptures, you put them together for you, and you can see here a little and there a little, Yahweh's plan laid out so perfectly clear that you'll wonder why you didn't see it to begin with. But you can't. You can't. It's Yahweh said he put it that way, so those who were not true, that he wasn't calling and they weren't true, they didn't want righteousness, they'd stumble and fall backwards and be taken. Well, you must not, see, that's a law. You must not at all do as you're doing this day. Now, he's brought you to his house, and he's telling you, every man, don't do what you've been doing all this time, every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. So that limits you to doing what you have done throughout your life. And then it sets you in front of the priest who Yahweh says will teach you, Yahshua being the high priest over the house. That's in Hebrews 10:21. He's high priest over the house of Yahweh. It said in Zechariah 6 where he says he and the branch will work together. I know some of them are telling the lie that Yahshua is the branch. No. Yahshua himself, the words out of his mouth, I am the vine. Why won't they believe his word? I am the vine. You are the branches, he said. I am the vine. If they could get that in their head, they would see he's talking to someone else that's the branch. That's, I don't know how many hundred scriptures is written about the branch, directly and indirectly. But when Yahweh, Yeshua, established this house, he was high priest before he ever established the house. He established this house through the branch. The branch, the prophecy said, he would branch out and he would build the house of Yahweh. Well, of course, that's what we have done. Myself and a group of donkeys. You got to learn about the donkeys. Donkeys will balk if you try to force them. My brother Jacob, we had a donkey, had him hooked with a mule. The donkey got tired. He stopped. My brother tried to pull him. He tried to push him. He built a fire under him. The donkey moved over a little and sat there. If you read about a donkey will do what you want him to do, but he's got to love you in order to do it. And no wonder that Yahweh compared us to the donkey. The more you read about it, the more you read about them, the more you love the name and want to be called a donkey. The half donkeys, they brag on the half donkeys, that is the mule, because he has some of those genes that the donkey has, but he doesn't balk like the donkey does. He goes ahead and works under pressure. Well, of course, that one is also likened unto certain men. If you go to Deuteronomy now, and you listen to this right here, you're a fool if you don't obey this. You must not at all do as you have done, as you are doing here this day. If you're new, you're doing it. If you're an older member, you're not doing this. You're not doing your own way. You're doing what is taught by Yeshua, by the prophets, by the 12 disciples. You're doing those things because that's what I teach. I teach what Yeshua taught. Our foundation, you got to dig down deep to get it. But you dig down deep and you get this foundation of the prophets and the apostles, and you put them two together, which Yahweh has done with his house. You put those two together, and that's the foundation we're built on. And that's the foundation we follow in unity, doing the work, serving each other as we serve Yahweh, taking this message out. He made that possible too. Take this message out to all the world. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. You got to turn from that while you're here. Don't do it anymore. Obey this. Start asking at Abel. Start studying. Get involved in the classes. You won't find anything taught here except the words of the inspired words of the book of Yahweh, the prophets, Yeshua, and of course the 12 disciples. In Deuteronomy 13, look at verse 1. If there arises among you a prophet or one who foretells by dreams, or he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder he spoke to you comes to pass, but then he says, let us follow after God. Come and let's do it this way. It's more fun. It's a delight to go do this tonight up here in the world or here in the world. So let's all get in a truck and go. Go, go, go. Oh, man, go up and down, back and forth. Let's go drive around. How many times have you heard that? No, you need to abide your time right now. Yahweh calls you here in earnest. You don't have much time left, but you do have enough time. He gives you space to repent. You can learn it fast now because it's all in writing. And if you'll take your extra time, get a book of Israel, get a mark of the beast, and start really digging in. You will see you have a tough time to learn this. We put the scriptures together for you. The sign and the wonder he spoke of comes true. It comes to pass. Don't follow him if he wants you to serve gods that you're supposed to come out of. Come out of this world and be separate, says Yahweh. Touch not the unclean. The world is full of uncleanness. I just read you an article this morning about that. That's shocking, I know, to come out of the world. Look at verse 3, and you'll see why. He's testing you for the greatest kingdom in the universe. And the beings in that kingdom, in those kingdoms of the universe that you're going to be put in charge of to teach and guide, they're waiting right now for you to pass this test that I just gave you. Yes, I just gave you the test. Put your time to use. Don't go back out into the world seeking their ways, wasting your time with movies, with Six Flags, with anything and everything. They have it all to offer you. Satan has the whole world out there for you to go and enjoy. Yahweh says you can't find joy there. You can't. Your life is as empty. You can spend hours and hours vacation for days or months, and you'll come back home and your life will be empty, and you'll wonder, and you'll be deeper in debt and miserable. That's what you'll be. You find joy like Yahshua did. You look forward to this. You'll find the joy, and you'll start understanding these scriptures. And there's not a more joyous thing than to see what Yahweh is pointing out to us right here in the house of Yahweh. Well, notice verse 3. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or that foreteller of dreams. For Yahweh, your Father, is testing you. Yes, he's going to let you be tested with Satan, with her evil schemes, with false teachings, with bickering, with lies that they'll be glad to tell you about me or the elders. My life is an open book, just like Yahshua's was when he made it open. He made it open for all to see. And not only that, these writings of the apostles that was sealed for over 1,500 years in Rome, that's an actual fact. The Sistine popes that finally edited this and brought it out in the King James Version to you, these versions, you can find it in there too. It might take you 1,000 years to do it. You can find it in a few days in the writings of the house of Yahweh. Yes. But Yahweh is going to test you with this to see if you'll pass this test. I just read you what your test was. Yahshua died for your past sins. Yahweh is giving you the chance, the opportunity to repent, convert by practice, by practicing what I've told you, what the scripture tells you. I'm merely reading to you the scripture. This is your test. Look at that. Your Father is testing you to know whether you love Yahweh, your Father, with all your heart, with all your soul. Verse 4, it is Yahweh, your Father, you must walk after, and it is him you must reverence. Keep his laws, obey his voice. Obey his voice, the voice of the high priest, the voice of the priest. Reverence, keep his laws, obey his voice, then you shall serve him and hold fast to him. The house of Yahweh is forever, forever. We will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Remember that. In Isaiah 53, Yeshua came to his own. He did. He presented himself to his own, and they rejected him because he was teaching the laws of Yahweh. Even his own family rejected him. His brothers and sisters, are they not here with us? The Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians said. Read the prophecy now with me. Who has believed our report? To whom is the arm of Yahweh revealed? That is the strength of Yahweh. The strength, as Malachi said in Malachi 4. And Yeshua says, these laws and prophecies, if you will believe it, if you can grasp this, he said, this is the laws of Yahweh that will be in the last days. We're the last days. We're the house of Yahweh established in the last day. For he will grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. The man was despised. They told all kinds of lies about this man. He liked whores. He stood up for whores. He was born of fornication, they said. I guess he was a polygamist because he had a lot of whores. Those whores are going to witness against everyone who doesn't believe. Those whores, they repented and was converted. And they're willing to die with Yeshua. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. All the days of his teaching, this went on. Acquainted with grief. And we hid as it was our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by Yahweh, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. That's the putting away of Yahweh's laws, doing away with them. We've come out of that now. We don't put them away anymore. We were all a part of that. You come to the house of Yahweh, you got to put that away. Don't do those things anymore. Don't do what is right in your own eyes. Let us show you the righteousness of Yahweh the rest of your life, which is eternal, if you'll do what I say. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But now not anymore, right? You come to the house of Yahweh, and I've showed you the scripture telling you what to do. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. You won't live if you get angry with me and leave. Your learning will stop. And one of these days when you see, you'll look back and say, why didn't I stay and learn? laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He paid it all. And now this was in one night he did this. He suffered enough deaths in that one night for everyone. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb. You've got to remember that now to remember, you got to know that right there. That and what the apostles called him, what was told to Abraham. What was written for us, he was led as a lamb. That's a prophecy. He was led as a lamb before he was ever born. This prophecy was prophesying about Yahshua. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers, he is silent, so he opened not his mouth. This was a prophecy of what Yahshua was going to do, what it would be, his life would be like in paying for your sins. You have the opportunity to come out of sin. That's what Yahweh offers you here at the house of Yahweh where Yahshua is high priest. He was taken from prison. Yeah, he was put in prison. Your Savior. I told that to the police officer that arrested me. He said, "What do you mean, put in prison?" I said, "Yeah, you didn't know he was arrested?" This is how little Christianity knows about the Holy Scriptures. I preached to the officer all the way to the jail. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. That's what Daniel showed, and Daniel 9 showed when and where. He showed it all. For the transgressions of his people, he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. But he had done no violence. Do you get that? No violence. Remember that. Don't go back to your old life. He did no violence. He turned the other cheek. Nor was any deceit in his mouth. He taught the scriptures, the inspired scriptures of Yahweh. Yet his bruises, willful sacrifice, pleased Yahweh, for he was put to much grief. Now has brought the offering for sin. He will see his seed. He's seeing them right now. And you're under the test right now. You're under the test right now. I know many of you are praying right now, and that's great. Praying for forgiveness. This is wonderful. This is the most wonderful thing that I've seen in my life, and I rejoice in it. I know what you're going through and what you're seeking to get everything out of your life that's unlike Yahshua Messiah. He'll see his seed. He will prolong days, and the pleasure of Yahweh will succeed in his hands. Yes, he is high priest over the house of Yahweh. He soon will be King of Kings and ruler of rulers. That ruler of rulers, it means teacher, guidance, loving, caring, watching, guarding and keeping and so forth. That's what this word means. Verse 11, he will see his labor of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. My righteous servant will justify many, for he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, lied about, and he bore the sins of many. Like a lamb, he opened not his mouth. He died for your sins. The very day he was arrested that night, murdered the next day. Our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, this is Israel Hawkins' Father, your last day's witness, coming to you through Yeshua, our high priest and king, over the house of Yahweh, coming before you, Father, along with your whole house, here in this building, seeking your help and guidance and approval, Father, knowing, Father, that we are being led by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that one gets in understanding the Scriptures, understanding what this is all about, why it had to occur, and what is taking place now in our lives to perform the work of Yahweh, perform your work, working together in unity, Father, not only growing to be approved for the job you have for us, but taking forth a great work that is reaching the entire world at this time with the last day's warning of what is going to take place, the great burning that is going to take place, and few men left. We know that we're being heard, Father, all over the world. We know that there are billions out there in the world at this time that is hearing, many of them wanting to get loose and come to the feast and being held captive by the beastly system. We're asking, Father, your will be done in this. We're asking that they too will partake of this blessing one day with us and learn with us as you have made it possible through television, internet, Facebook, everything that you have provided, the recording disc and so forth that is sent to these people all over the world. We thank you for this. We thank you for showing us that we would be doing these things as your house to enlighten, to bring this light to the world for all your calling. We thank you for this bread that we're holding up at this time. We knowing that it represents the body of Yeshua Messiah. And Father, we willingly will eat this bread tonight and willingly, Father, partake of the life that Yeshua lived, and with zeal and understanding, we will strive, all of us here, Father, intend to strive to be exactly the example that Yeshua set for us. We thank you for this and the knowledge, and we thank you for Yeshua Messiah. We thank you for the night that he gave his life to pay for our life and buy us back from Satan. We thank you and praise you and ask your help and guidance, your direction in everything that is done here, from the bread and wine to the washing of feet to taking, being a slave, becoming a slave to each other and to you. We thank you and praise you and ask your guidance in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Our Father in heaven, whose name is Yahweh, this is Israel Hawkins, your last day's witness, coming to you through Yeshua, our high priest and king over the house of Yahweh, coming before you, Father, thanking you for the blood of Yeshua that was shed for us that night and the preceding day on the stake, the tree, for our sins. We're told in Acts 3:19, verse 3, that to repent and be baptized in the name of Yeshua Messiah, that our sins might be blotted out. Repent and be converted. That's what we're doing here this night for all of our slip-ups, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the repentance that we see here. We thank you for Yeshua Messiah that shed his blood for our sins. And we thank you, Father, for your strongness and your sincerity in showing mankind and the heavens that sin will not be ever represented again in earth or heaven by your people, by your house. We thank you for this blood and body of Yeshua, in the name of Yeshua, our high priest and king. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah.
We'll have it in just a little bit. We didn't plan on this big a crowd. I think that is beautiful. That's the first time. Since I got a few minutes here to get this straightened out and keep you from getting bored, let's turn over to Genesis right quick. Because this is something that should be noticed by everyone, but nobody notices it. In Genesis, the second chapter, the trees that Yeshua talked about in Matthew 7. In chapter 2 of Genesis, we see that Yahweh allowed these two trees. Abel was one of them. So who do you think the second one was? The God worshiper that is still named Catholic, because that's what Catholic means. Catholic means universal. Acts shows that they were given over to worship the whole host of gods, even the demons. That's what Catholic means. That's what their name means. They don't worship Yahweh, because Yahweh is not a god. He's never been identified in the original scriptures as a god, only in the versions that the popes, the Sistine popes, which there's five, they say there's six, unless they can show me a pope that was actually named Peter, it certainly wasn't Kepha, but they make out like that it was the apostle Kepha. They want you to believe that the apostle Kepha, who condemned everything the Catholic Church did, he condemned God worship. Then there's no way he would have ever been a part of Christianity or Pope. Christianity is based on worship of gods. Everything they do is God worship. They show you the show of the Ten Commandments as if, you know, this is something righteous. After it's edited to where it doesn't make a whole lot of sense compared to Scripture, but in that show they will also bring forth their Easter bunny that lays colored eggs. Now, it looks like they are bringing forth righteousness because they're bringing forth a show about the Ten Commandments. So in your mind, unless you're on guard, your subconscious mind and your regular mind, your conscious mind, will pick this up as if it was righteous. And they're doing a righteous act, you know, by feeding some people, by trying to practice what the house of Yahweh did in the days of the apostles, in the days of Abel. Yeshua worked on the Sabbath feeding people. The disciples worked on the Sabbath picking up scraps from the people. They served the people. And Yeshua says, when I come back, I'm going to put my belt around me and I'm going to come out and serve you. That's going to be on a Sabbath day. on Yahweh's holy Sabbath. That's where it all begins, Isaiah 58. If you will turn your foot from the Sabbath, I will do this for you. Well, here he shows these two trees. This is really exciting if you read Matthew 7 with this, because Yahshua, our high priest, who died for us, actually explained these two trees in Genesis, the second chapter. In the third chapter, Satan deceives Eve, who talked Adam into sinning with her. Are we through? Got it? Okay. We'll continue tomorrow on that. Shall we? Maybe seated. Being a slave to others, it's a great joy. I remember in my life when, I guess I was 9 or 10 years old, and my mother was a great cook, and we lived in a place where they raised what they call broom corn, and the broom corn, when a man got ready to cut his broom corn, that's what you make brooms out of today. I'm sure it's all done by machinery now, but we cut it by hand, and brooms were made by hand at that time. But we would, when a man had a field of broom corn, say 20 to 100 acres, he would try to get enough men to cut that broom corn and to thrash it in one day. They all wanted mother to cook, as she would teach cooking as she did the chores and teach the women what to do. She had a job for every person that came. And a lot of the people would bring their wives to do cooking, and they'd get paid the same as the broom corn Johnnies. So, but there's all given orders to obey mother in this cooking. Mother was a very joyous woman, and she was easy to get along with. She taught well, but she insisted on the recipes being followed. And of course, come meal time, everyone enjoyed the meals. She tried to see to it that nobody went hungry. This was an attitude that was dished out to the people, to her children, because every year when Dad would plant a garden, she would say, "Ode, be sure and plant enough for the rabbits now." That was her attitude with animals as well as with people. And she had many friends, righteous friends. That is part of my character, I guess, that was planted in me when I was a child, because I love serving people too. And I know, and I've seen people that would come here that wanted to be served, but right away they start getting this spirit of servitude, and they become very joyous in it. What can I do today? You know, why don't you let me do this? I can do this, and you do something else. That talking to the teachers. This is very beautiful. Well, the Savior was this way too. He served thousands. Yochanan 13, verse 8. Kepha said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." He said that out of respect, of course. But Yahshua answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Of course, he's talking about more than feet here. He's talking about an inside cleansing that I'm trying to make everyone here understand how important this is. When you get the selfishness out with servitude in, it cleanses you inside. and brings a different person and a different attitude, a different joy to your life. And you start enjoying life to the fullest. And when you serve someone and you see a smile of satisfaction on their face, which this comes a lot with food, this is very rewarding. Now, I tell you before it comes, in order that when it does come, it's going to come to pass in your life as part of the seven eras of your life that Yahweh brings every person through. You watch the pattern in your own life and you'll see what I'm talking about. Come to pass, you may believe that I am He. Truly, truly, I say to you, when it comes, it won't be Yahshua, but His workers, you, the donkey. Truly I say, truly, truly, I say to you, this is verse 20, he who receives whomsoever I send receives me. See that? You're all here under the guidance of Yahshua. He plainly tells you this in Zechariah 6. He's the one beholding you, still putting you through these same tests that our forefathers went through 40 years in the wilderness. Remember? 40 years training them that man doesn't live by bread. He lives only by the words of Yahweh. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomsoever I send receives me, and he who receives me also receives him who sent me. Luke again, 22 and verse 63. Now the men who held Yahshua mocked him, beat him. I want you to think about this tonight, because, you know, this, you know, it kind of shows you the seriousness of sin and why this will, Yahweh will never put anyone through this ever again. But he did this to teach a great lesson, and of course to assure the kingdoms of heaven and earth that he will not tolerate sin in his kingdom. That sin is what causes death. There'll be no more death or dying when we take this position that Yahweh offers us and we bring this to the universe. We're going to stop sin and death and dying. And verse 64 says, and when they had blindfolded him, they mocked him. Remember, he was always saying, he tells you ahead of time. Well, of course, it was told ahead of time in Isaiah 53 what they were going to be doing to him. But they put it to work, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who was it that struck you? And many other things they blasphemingly spoke against him. Many other things. You can see the hatred that was put in them, not because of anything that Yahshua had done, but because of the hatred that Satan had inspired in these people. This Yochanan 8:44, he shows you the control that Satan has at this time among the world. She's leading them. She told Yahshua, this has all been given to me. I can give it to whomsoever I want to. And of course, she intends to try to wipe man off the face of the earth so that Yahweh will not have a kingdom. That's her idea. Now when Yahshua was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. Truly I say to you, And now think of this. This man knows what he's going to go through here, and yet he's protecting, defending a woman here. This shows the strength of this man. I don't believe there's ever been a man, there's never been a man with this kind of strength. Living without sin, there's a difference, a great deal of difference. And he lived without sin. We're going to catch up with this point right here one day. We'll never catch up with Yahshua. We will know this right here and the power that it brings. Wherever he says to them, truly I say to you, wherever this message will be preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial for her. So when we're celebrating this, we're also celebrating this memorial of Nora, the woman who anointed him. We'll skip the most of this and go to verse 31. Then Yahshua said to them, All of you will be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Well, of course they were, and this was this prophecy that he gave here took place. But then they became strong, very strong, when they started seeing that all these prophecies was fulfilled. Then they started seeing the prophecies prophesied of them and remembered the work. Of course, Yahshua had to come back and remind them again. But they eventually started gaining the strength that it took. Now, these were strong men that had been with Yahshua for years. But yet they had to be built stronger than this in order to go through what they went through. The Apostle Kepha, who was one of them, he was so strong that he begged that they not sacrifice him right side up. He didn't feel worthy. He didn't feel worthy of that. And he asked them to sacrifice him upside down. That's the strength you get from being righteous, and also the joy. This woman, we admire the woman too. She went through a great deal. And we, as Yahshua said, do pay honor to this woman. In fact, we wrote a song about this woman. The great David Yehuda Hawkins is going to lead us at this time in the singing of this song concerning Nora, the woman that anointed Yahshua and got him ready for his burial. May Yahweh bless all of you. Remember to work on the name. We're told to celebrate this memorial to this woman. Don't forget that. You can't celebrate a memorial just to a woman. You know, you got to know the name. So work on that, everyone. And if it doesn't mean what I told you, then you have the wrong name. It means the donkeys are going to cry this out. And we're going to cry this out, Passover.
That woman, on the words of great Yahshua, she left her life of sin, never to return again. Let us praise her, and Father Yahweh, give honor to her.
Is it on?